Hello, everybody, and welcome to the third episode of the Mint Podcast. Here at the Mint, we have made it our mission to raise awareness and reduce the stigma that is attached to mental and behavioral health disorders. And as always, you are loved, you are enough, and you are exactly where you're meant to be. Here on the Mint, we're going to talk to real people with real struggles who have found ways to overcome them. So today's episode, I have Jacob Smith here with me, who is someone that I've known for 10 years, which makes me feel very, very old.
Seriously.
We went to high school together. I think I met you my junior year.
Yep.
And then we went to Radford together for our undergrad, which I just learned. You went all 4 years. I felt like an asshole for not knowing that. So he now lives in Hanover, Virginia with his fiance and yep. his daughter, and is the partial owner of Fades and Blades Barbershop mm-hmm. in addition to his full-time day job. So if you need a sick haircut, now you know where to go. Yeah, yeah. So Jacob, welcome. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
So Jacob has what is known as ADHD, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which basically makes it difficult to pay attention and control impulsive behaviors. So before we get into ADHD, tell our listeners a little more about you and who, and just like who you are. And give like a background. Give a bio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I can tell my life like two parts, like pre-adulthood.
And time is not linear.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of my childhood was revolved around baseball. Sports was my outlet, my escapism, if you will. Through college, that, you know, as that fell off, I went through a time where I really kind of struggled because I didn't have that type of escapism. Fast forward a few years into the barbershop, able to really pour myself into something with a little bit of passion. Mm-hmm. Here we are today. So I don't know how much more you want me to go like in depth, you know, into.
I know, that's good.
Okay,
that's
sorry.
Good. So how old were you when you were diagnosed?
Roughly like seven, six, like very, very young, like definitely not in middle school, like definitely right. still in elementary school.
And is it one of those things that's gotten like more manageable as you've gone on or as you've gotten older?
The people closest to me would tell you maybe. I would like to think a little
bit. I considered it with you and tell you right now, it already seems more manageable.
Yeah, so a little
from high school. Used to get, I remember you would come in to Miss Vaughn's English class and
yes,
you'd be like, hey, Mary
morning.
Paige, can I use your phone? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. And you would get that bitch taken every single
Yo,
class.
And it's so crazy because you can credit my parents for that because they would always take mine.
Well, thanks, Mr. Yeah. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So
dude, that's crazy.
I know, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, all the time.
But so, now kids can have phones all the time.
I know. It's like a sin to take them away.
I know.
God forbid. So did you, when you were diagnosed, were you immediately put on medication? How did it make you feel?
Yeah. So like I remember like when I first went into like the doctor, it was real weird. Like for the first time ever, I was talking to someone like who was asking me questions about
yeah.
myself. And like as a child, you don't really understand it. Like I started to see the counselor at school more
mm-hmm.
often, and it was really odd for me. Like I didn't quite understand like why.
Like why am I getting all this attention?
Well,
and
yeah,
else is.
Right, exactly. But like I think I've always been like somewhat self-aware that I was different a little bit. But yeah, I kind of what. They tried this weird tape thing, like listening like to stuff when I was going to sleep or like focus, like different, like I guess
right.
like studies like to help
to
focus.
Almost
or,
like alter your sleeping pattern.
Yeah.
But
this was like really, I feel like ADHD like diagnosis and stuff like that, it was probably early into that.
Yeah.
Like this was, we're talking like the 90s.
Yeah.
It's
definitely not what it is now.
Not
sure.
at all.
Yeah.
No. And, but we did go into medicine pretty quickly, I feel.
So how do you, now that you have a child of your own, do you feel any differently about the medication? So the reason that I ask is that when you think, for the person who doesn't know,
yeah.
when you think ADD, ADHD, you think Adderall and Ritalin.
Yeah.
And then having gone, and I'm sure you can attest to
gone.
This, but having gone through college, It's a widely used substance get through school.
Dude, if people, right, so.
I mean, pop an Addy, do an all-nighter,
it's crazy. There's so many more drugs behind it than that, like Vyvanse, Strattera. Mm-hmm. There's so many. And you're right, like, in college, like, for me, it's like I'm just taking the medicine that I've been taking my entire life.
Yeah.
But everybody, you know, come exam week, come finals, like,
you were probably everybody.
Yeah, everybody was trying to get some. I'm like, guys, I gotta go to school too.
Yeah, I need this. That's so funny. So now that you're older, and maybe, like, is there any type of alternative to medication that you found works for you? Whether that's, I mean, I don't know whether it would be like yoga or, you know, something like calming that works for you, or is medication just kind of like it for this?
I mean, there are things, right? There are outlets.
Yeah.
But for me, really, it's staying busy,
mm-hmm.
right? Not giving myself the time to like get lost. You know,
right.
because that's where I struggle.
It's like a routine.
Yeah, like as long as I've got, you know, I know exactly what I've got to get done, and I've got, you know, I get into my routine. Like when I get it thrown off, though, it's off,
yeah.
probably for like the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, being able to stick to a routine helps a little bit. Definitely having, like I said, those escapisms,
mm-hmm.
like being able to, you know, get in, like, for me, I love social media. You can probably tell, like, I enjoy
me
that
too.
Stuff. Yeah. For me, it's, you know, I'm working. It is a little bit of like work for the shop, but
yeah.
like, I really do enjoy interacting with everyone and like getting
yeah.
to know everyone, because like, I'm not in the shop.
You're like me. You're all over it.
Yeah. So like it in that. And then, you know, as I was younger, baseball, like now I definitely took medication when I played, but you
it's
know,
like you got your energy.
Yeah,
out
exactly.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I was able to, you know, get focused on something else that, you know, school was so hard for me. Like being able to focus throughout school.
I remember you would come in and you could all, and I didn't know that you had ADHD until it had to have been like 7 or 8 months into knowing you. And I remember, because my last name is Schinholzer and his last name is Smith.
So
and of course
they sit
you alphabetically and you always sat next to me. And like some days you would come in and you would be fine. You'd be
yeah.
perfectly calm, whatever, do your work, leave after the 90 minutes. And some days you would come in and I'd be like, who the hell is
yeah.
this? You would be up and over and
yeah.
down and out and to the bathroom, back from the bathroom. Miss Vaughn would be like, Jacob Smith, sit down.
Yeah, no. And
and then you told me you had ADHD and I was like,
oh, it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, dude, yeah, and that was even today, right? Like even at work today, like as an adult, it's like, oof, gotta get yourself together. Like calm down.
So how did teachers, like growing up, did you ever notice teachers would like treat you differently, or did you ever have a teacher that like didn't really understand?
So right, I can break it down into like my favorite teachers, which were the ones who either understood or like worked with me.
Right.
Like, you know, weren't so stingy and like, you know, understood that I was a little bit
different.
I guess stingy
yeah.
is definitely not the word to use.
No.
I don't know what was trying to come out.
Accommodating.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. But so like people I think of, Miss Vaughn, I think
mm-hmm.
Coach Drago,
mm-hmm.
Coach Hoy. Really those are baseball coaches. But there were other, like Mr. Diadamo.
Yeah,
he was cool. Yeah, he really was. But then there were Coach Evans from Stonewall. And I guess most of them were coaches, so I guess I could...
They didn't
now
see
that
you
I,
in
yeah,
the classroom
right,
setting.
Exactly. So, well, and most of them were PE.
You know, it's funny,
so.
That, and it's funny that you say that, because when I was teaching, I feel like some of my favorite kids on the track were some of the worst ones
yeah,
in class.
Right.
And I remember thinking, like, and I feel like a horrible person, but I remember thinking in the classroom, like, I cannot wait until these 80 minutes are up and to get this kid out
yeah.
of my room. But then they came out for track, and I was like, no. But then they
yeah.
made it, and then
yeah.
they ended up being some of my favorite students.
Absolutely.
So it's just, I feel like it's all in the setting that you're in. And coaches yeah. have just as much of an impact on you as teachers
I mean,
do.
And you know, great, the I had coaches that were also my PE teachers, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of helped, because
like Coach Dragon.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, but like other than that, I really struggled with school,
mm-hmm.
And I think it was because teachers probably struggled with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, like growing up when you're younger, it's like, oh, I was always directly beside the teacher, like right. always right by the teacher. You know, and I remember always getting in trouble and like the card system, like yellow to red. And like, it was nothing to have three
which
reds.
Which is so and it's, frowned upon.
Yeah,
now.
Dude. And like, it, yeah. And I get it. Like, I would be so scared because like, if you got three reds, they'd call your parents. And like, I was like doing anything just to get like back from three reds. Like, can I clean? What was the projector screens? Like those.
Right.
The,
can I please get a green?
Yeah. Can you just
give me a yellow?
Help me, please. And like my, even in my report cards, if I could have those, it'd be like satisfactory, like behavior, like terrible.
Yeah.
And it's not
which
that
is not your fault.
No, dude, and it's just my like it you your brain fires a little bit different. Like
yeah.
I'm so far over the place all the time. Like even in conversations, it's hard because like I'll make jumps and people are like, huh? And I'm like, but I made it, I made that jump. I don't know. It's just how we work.
So for those listening, before we started, we sat down and I told him, I said, well, sometimes like I get a little bit off topic, and he was like, perfect.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you. So for people that don't know you, I remember in high school you had a pretty bad accident. I mean,
yeah.
you came, what was it, like a quarter of a centimeter away.
Yeah, no, I was in a car accident. It was really weird that you brought that up because I left the gym, Virginia Center Commons, this morning. And
you have to
like,
go by where
and
you...
I literally drove by where I got into my car accident. And like, I every time it makes you feel a little weird. But like, I had noticed that somebody had put a cross up on the tree adjacent to where
wow.
I had been in my accident. Mm-hmm. And like that, like made my heart skip a beat. And like, ugh, even the feeling now makes you feel
yeah.
weird. But then like, it was like followed by like the same way driving down peaks, like
mm-hmm.
oh, like that's the way I drove to go to school every day. So like it was very nostalgic.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, my accident changed my life a lot. In terms of like ADHD and like the correlation there, I'm not my biggest thing. I mean, like my accident really affected my athletic abilities
right.
the most. Now I was able to come back and, you know, still grateful to play in college for the time I was able to play. But I deal with like the physical pains now, mentally, like driving by today, that affected me.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that it had anything to do with like my ADHD?
No. Maybe calmed it down.
Yeah,
like,
maybe like, no, it
process.
Definitely made me realize like, yo, that was you. A lot of people, like my grandfather was like one of the first ones there at the car, like at the scene. To like gather up belongings, like after my parents
right.
and everything, like next day type
right.
stuff. And he was like, yeah, no, I've never seen many people survive anything like
yeah.
this. Like my dad said the tow truck drivers were like, yo, this is insane that he's still alive.
Well, you were in a little like Eclipse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very
a
small.
Teeny tiny sports car.
Yeah, very, very small.
And you were super proud of that car.
Yeah, I worked really, like my parents, you know, very thankful for them. Gave me the ability to like earn money growing up. So what they did is, you know, they'd pay me what was $5 an hour for like everything that I did, cleaning cars, cutting
right.
the grass, blowing leaves, like doing mulch, like all just like the work around the house.
Yeah.
And when it came time for me to get my car, they matched it. I want to say they matched it then some.
Right.
Really, really, really helped me out. And like I was, yeah, I loved that car. And it was crazy because it was right before Christmas, and like I know that, and like all of my presents were car stuff. Like it was like, you know what I'm saying? And like as I was looking, it was my first car. I was so looking forward to it,
mm-hmm.
and then like the accident came, and you know I spent Christmas, and then a long time after that in the hospital. So it was a very much like you know, you can die.
Yeah.
Like and not that I thought I was invincible by any means, but like the thought had never ever crossed my mind.
Right.
Like. And like now with Mia, like being a dad, it's like, oh, like I get super emotional about like anything that it's like, you know, like that little incident could have like, she was running the other day and she was running at the top towards the top of the stairs and she started to stumble and I was able to grab the back of her shirt.
Right.
I was like, you know, like you could have fallen down. Something bad
right.
could have happened.
I feel like being a parent, like sent, I was talking to somebody about this the other day and I don't remember what it was. Oh. It was episode 2, the postpartum. And I remember I was talking to Christy, and I was like, I, like, having dogs sends my anxiety through the roof.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like having children.
Yeah, no, it's you know, and I'm one of the ones, like, I get up in the middle of the night, like, I'll go check, like, to the point where, like, I'll check her breathing, and it's, Like, I know she's fine.
I think it's a very, like, parent thing to do, though.
But, like, growing up, I was reckless. Like, And
when you're younger like that, I mean, we were that with, like, me, Meg, Christina, Taylor Ray. Like, we didn't give a shit.
About anything. Like, yeah, we did crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And thinking back on it, like, I'm glad that social media wasn't to the magnitude it is today.
Oh, my God.
We'd have been so exposed.
Thank God we didn't have, like, Snapchat, Instagram. Facebook was just becoming a thing.
Baby. It was...
MySpace was the thing.
Yeah. Like, and it wasn't on your phone at all.
No, it
like,
wasn't.
It was
And if it was, you were in trouble because it ran up your bill having
the
internet.
Yeah, no kidding. Dude, yeah. I remember talking about, like, getting your phone stolen or taken away. My parents... The reason they'd take my parents would take my phone for like I was probably a bit of a task to raise.
I'm sure you were.
I'm sure.
You were a task to sit next to.
Yeah, exactly. So they one time printed out like at this time they printed out all the texts I was sending.
God,
and like
my stepmom did that.
Yeah,
you know,
and they sat me down with like an encyclopedia. Like I didn't, you know, it was unreal. And I guess if you could like. Use that information now. It's a clearly
you get it now.
You know what I'm saying?
Like if you were to do that to Mia and she was saying half the things, you'd probably kill her.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. But just
lock
like,
her up. Until
I was
she's 30.
I was so. It was so hard to focus. I was so worried about attention, and you know, getting that attention. Like, I didn't pay attention in school. School was hard, and you know, to your point earlier about. You know, did some people, or maybe we haven't got there. I was reminded of being reading.
No, you go.
Let me not get ahead of it.
This is just like to be on track
okay.
a little bit.
I think I read on there something like, did people say like, no, you don't have that?
Well, and that was my next thing. So the big stigma attached to ADHD is that it's overdiagnosed. You're drugging up our youth just to get them by. You know, I feel like I've heard a lot, especially, you know, being in a master's program for education, we have to take so many, you know, credits. And you
absolutely.
Have to take so many... diversity in children credits and so many, you know, disabled children credits. And the one thing that we always learn and that they teach you is that, first of all, ADHD is real.
Oh,
I mean, if you don't believe that it is real, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like believing that, you know, addiction's not a disease. Like, you can think what you want, but it's in the DSM-5 classified as a disease.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It
so
is.
With ADHD, a lot of the times people are taught it's overdiagnosed, which it very well may be. You never know. But for the kids that actually have it, like you, I mean, you can't tell me that, you know, you wake up in the morning and you feel like you can't even make a cup of coffee without doing 12 other things before you even get to that cup of coffee.
So,
like,
first to address the people who may believe or think that it's not true or have, like, I heard a lot of it growing up. Like, you know, first and foremost, my parents were very strict with me. Like, I had a very strict schedule, you know, sometimes 3 baseball teams at a time, like everything was in order. And I'm one of a lot of kids. Like
you have a lot of siblings.
I have a lot of siblings.
So the
like
Harrisons
enough for
were
they were my neighbors.
Yeah, that's
up,
what
so.
She was saying. Yeah. She was like, I'm excited to hear his.
Yeah. No. So
here you
like,
go, April.
Yeah. So I was one of a lot of kids and my parents were very strict and I was disciplined on a regular basis.
Me too. Amen to that.
And now let me be fair, like my parents were divorced at a very young age. And so
mine too.
And but also got into relationships again who, you know, they stayed in those the rest of my life.
So you grew up with like parents and stuff.
I grew up with two households.
Yeah,
that
me too.
I grew up with. And one stricter than the other. But I, you know, I was never like let go as much as like I feel like some kids might be today. But then, you know, that's like me like shaming the generations below me. Like people shame our generation.
It's not necessarily that, but I think it's the, and this is a whole another
I'm glad we can get off topic.
But it's the co-parenting part. So like my parents got divorced when I was about 2 years old.
Same.
And they co-parented beautifully.
And mine did not.
Oh, yeah.
Not
see,
at
mine,
all.
Yeah, mine did. They
well,
were good. By the way, those are my dogs barking in the background.
Let me not say they did not. And like, I'm not trying to like throw my parents under the bus
in
any means. It's super difficult. And like, I've never been put in that position. So like, let me not pass judgment. But it's almost as if, like, when they got divorced, and, like, you know, I might not know the whole story even today as an adult.
And it's like, you don't want to know.
They just didn't like each other.
Yeah. Which is probably why they got divorced.
Exactly. And then so keeping you together for the next however long because of your child can cause problems, right?
Yeah.
So do I think they could have done it better? I think some sides could have done it better.
Right.
Maybe handled things differently.
In different instances, I'm
right?
sure there was things that could have been handled better. Absolutely.
But I had structure. So it's not like the ADHD is the kids who don't have structure or the kids who don't get spankings, because I got plenty of those, or reprimanded or got soap in the mouth or hot sauce or like all the crazy things.
Oh,
but
yeah.
So it's not that kids who have ADHD aren't kids who didn't get reprimanded.
It's not kids that weren't loved or kids that need attention at home.
No, not at all.
You're
like,
born
I had all of that. And it's just, it is what it is. It is how it is. So
now that you're into your adult life and, you know, you're engaged and you have a daughter and, you know, you're this business owner and you have this other job, does it ever, like... Like, with you and Chelsea, does she ever have to look at you and say, Jacob, slow your roll. Like, calm down.
If only she could be here. right? And, like, to speak to the praise of her, like, it takes a very strong individual to deal with me on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because she gets the good, the bad, and the indifferent.
Right.
And, like, it's not always great. Like, there are, you know... There are a lot of, like, ADHD can cause you to think a lot of different ways, a lot of different times. Like, I don't know. And you get the perception of, like, people think of you a type of way. And, like, I've never felt that way about, like, she's zero judgment. Like, I will say things probably, like I've said on this podcast, that make no sense or completely off topic. And she'll look at me like I'm crazy because I'm a little crazy.
Because you are.
but she loves me nonetheless. And... She understands, like, you know, some days, like, I'll have rough days, like, and, like, even as an adult, ADHD can affect, you know, the way you interact with people, and, like, being in, you know, at Capital One, I'm in a public-facing role, where I'm dealing with people who have struggles, who are struggling with, like, their money, and, like, it's a very serious issue.
It is.
And, like, it's nothing for me to be having a conversation right now and then just have a thought.
Right.
And to continue to look at you... But to proceed with this thought, and then you get lost in that conversation, and then they're looking at you with their mouth shut, and you get the, oh, I'm supposed to be talking now, and I'm totally lost.
It's so funny you say that, because I have Tourette's. I was diagnosed when I was 9 years old, and whenever I'm talking to somebody, and I feel a tick coming out, it's like I try to, like, hold it in. And if I hold it in, it's almost like holding your breath.
Yeah.
Like, you can't hold it in, for 30, 60 seconds, maybe.
It's gonna come.
And it gets you. And the way that I describe it to people is, if you're holding it in, it's almost like, and if you've ever played a sport, you know this. Like, if you're about to go up and bat, or, like, for me, it was, you know, if I'm about to go up and start a race for track,
it is
the biggest adrenaline rush you've ever had in your life. Just to hold back, because you don't want somebody to look at you and be like, what the hell?
Yeah, and if I say most of the things I'm thinking, but if I said all the things I'm thinking, like, people would really be like, what?
Like, what is that guy's problem?
Yeah, but I don't think there really is a problem. I think that if you can find a way to turn that energy into something positive, right, you can really shine a positive light on things like ADHD. Like, a lot of people come at it from a negative standpoint, but, like, in my later years, like, at 27, in the last, like, 3 to 4 years, really, I've really gotten onto this, like, a positivity kick, like, but, like, there's just a lot of negativity out there, and there's a lot of negativity,
really,
like, and just combating that with a little bit of positivity, so being able to spin it in, like, you know, I'm just blessed with a little bit of extra energy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just blessed to be able to...
You get more things done in a day.
That's not at all
debatable.
The case. I get a lot of small half tasks done.
Yeah.
But, you know, being able to spin it into... I run like this because I can, or I've been gifted this ability to. And yes, it causes problems. But, I mean... If you can see it in a positive light and, you know, use it to in your day-to-day, it's not that bad.
Honestly, and if you think about it, so if you think about it from the business owner's standpoint, like you said, you love being on social media, you love interacting.
Yeah.
If anything, that's like, hey, my ADHD gives me the ability to comment back after every single one of your
things. Not only that, but like if my brain kind of works like a timeline, like it's one thought does not have to correlate with the next. Just like one post does not have to correlate with the next one.
Right.
Not, and then like it just jumps back and forth.
Right.
So I think it's what makes me particularly like good at it. Like I can have a conversation with five different people at one time on five to however many topics.
Like completely different topics.
And all at the same time. And like I don't think many people can do that. Mm-hmm. But like the way my brain works, I can.
Yeah.
So just, you know, we've used that to really help the shop. Mm-hmm. And now granted, that's a very small thing in the business realm.
Right.
Like the girls at the shop work harder than any woman I know. Shout out to the girls at the shop. And they do it a fantastic job. It's just like, I feel like, you know, my relationship with Chelsea allowed me to dive into her passion, mm-hmm. right? Because I had spent 22 years of my entire life just devoted to baseball.
Right.
And like after that, I was in a spot for a while where like I didn't know.
Like, what do I do now?
My whole life was like, it's going to be baseball. It's going to be baseball. It's going to be baseball. And then it just wasn't baseball anymore. And I was like, oh yeah, no, everyone's telling me you'll have a backup plan. And there never was one. Mm-hmm.
Didn't you, to totally get off subject, didn't you transfer from Lee Davis to Hanover for baseball?
There were some behavioral issues that led to that trend. So I was able to spin it as in it was. Now, there were obviously some reasons. Like, mm-hmm. I love Coach Hoy, Coach Dragom, mm-hmm. Coach Ford, everybody who, you know.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, I really cared for the coaches at Lee Davis as well. Really, it was a behavioral thing. I made a transition at that. I was getting into trouble. When I was at Lee Davis, I was getting into trouble at my mom's house. So I transferred really to my dad. My parents transferred almost custody.
You had a brother that went to
Lee Davis, yeah.
No, to Hanover.
I had both. Jay who went to Hanover. Okay. So Jay went to Hanover.
Okay.
Jordan's graduating Hanover this year.
Really?
Dustin's at Hanover. Then I have my sister Zoe who's still in Oaknall.
Goodness. My brother graduates high school this year too, and I'm just like, what on God's green earth?
And then Adam, who is my only like full biological brother, he went to Lee Davis all 4 years. Ethan and Matthew. Ethan graduated Lee Davis, Matthew's about to graduate this year.
Okay, gotcha.
So yeah, I did transfer, and baseball was a big factor. But my parents,
it was almost like it was a plus.
It was the only plus at the time. At the time, because it was like, you know, I was leaving a comfortable place, or I knew kids, I knew teachers, and like I knew what I could get away with and what I couldn't get away with. And like, you were there for my junior year. Like there were times where there were times where for me as an athlete, it struggled because like for 2 years I had competed against like a lot of the guys that I now had to become friends with. Mm-hmm. And like back in the day, like you didn't like necessarily like the teams.
It was the same with field hockey. I mean, it was always our mission in field hockey to beat Lee Davis.
Yeah.
Because
100%.
Lee Davis, because they were so good.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about like Haley Matthews. She was crazy.
I freaking love Haley so much.
Crazy on the field hockey field. And I remember thinking like, if this girl comes charging at me, I'm getting the hell out of the way.
Yeah,
dude, I'm just going to let her go.
Yo, I love Haley so much.
She could chuck that ball across the field like it was a golf swing. I mean, she was so talented.
Yeah.
Hanover County is just a small county in general, and the schools are such huge rivals with each other.
And it's and like athletics, and I can't speak for today, but back in the day when we were – back in the day, 10 years ago, like –
we're coming up on our 10-year reunion,
which is really scary.
It's back in
but
the day
like,
now.
We took, as kids, like, we took it serious.
Yeah, you really
so, like,
did.
I went from being that guy who, like, and like, I wasn't a quiet guy on any field that I played on, whether it be baseball or football. Like, and I'd like to think, you know, I've grown out of that person and beyond that. But, like, I would run. There was nothing for me to run my mouth to anybody.
Right.
So then, like, having to, like, revert back, like, yo, no, all those things I said, like, that was just then. Like, now let's be friends.
Just kidding.
Yeah. It's like, that was hard for me, you know, grateful for, like, all the friends that I made, you know, and, you know, you're fine. being able to just like with, you know, Eric, Jared, just two that pop off right away, were two of the ones immediately that we met in gym class. My first year at school or at Hanover, and was able to, you know, use sports to make friends. Mm-hmm. And like, that's why I was thankful for that, because if not, I would have been like that lost kid in school.
Yeah.
So
that was like your one thing that you had.
That one thing that I was able to like get into, and like some people were like accepting, and you know, maybe some people weren't so accepting, mm-hmm. but you know, that's that awkward, dude. High school is so awkward, tension.
I tell Jared's daughter all the time, like, if you can just get out of high school.
Dude, just because like I see people all the time, like right now,
high school
that, like,
sucks.
I'm like completely cordial, will meet with a smile and a handshake and like, hey man, how are you? But like back in high school, I'm like, yo, we did not get along at all. And why? Stupid crap.
You don't even remember, which shows how stupid it is.
Exactly. Or like, it was like girls, or I said something about them, or they said something about me. And it's like, but why were you talking crap about somebody else? You have way too much shit to deal with on your own.
Like, I wish that the problems I had back then were my biggest problems now.
So serious.
Oh my God.
Because.
Well, most of them, not all of them.
Yeah.
So now that you have a child of your own, mm-hmm. if she were to ever be diagnosed with ADHD, do you ever think about like how you would handle it, or have you and Chelsea talked about how you would handle it?
So this is the hard part for me, because it's like, right, I feel a type of way about medication, and then I also understand mm-hmm. like the reality of like needing, there is an imbalance, and like being able to correct that with medication does help, right? I can understand the medication, like clearly I'm a great example as to someone who needs it, but I also think that there may be long-term effects that mm-hmm. we haven't quite come to, right? Like, I do think there are things that I will go through. I've been diagnosed since I was like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been taking this medicine for a very long time, and I'm not sure on like the origination date of like Adderall and Ritalin, but like I was there for like the early drugs,
right?
Like the Strattera's and stuff that I remember like getting sick as a dog.
Well, when I was diagnosed with Tourette's, I think they put me on some form of like, I want to say it was like Valium or something.
Yeah.
And being 9 years old on Valium, you're like,
right?
Ooh.
And then exactly. And but like opposite of that, when I, by the time I got to high school and I was taking it on a daily, day to day, the days where I wouldn't take it, I would feel like I would have all the energy in the morning. Like I'd be able to be like mm-hmm. all over the place. But by the end of the day, I was so dead.
And now being a teacher, like I would notice the kids. First of all, you have a file that tells you like this kid has this, that, and the other thing. And it would say whether they're on medication or not. And when you get to, so I taught eighth grade. So when you get to eighth grade, the kid's parents, which they should, are making they're holding the kid responsible you need to remember to take your medication. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be there to baby you every step of the way anymore. You're getting older. And the days that the kids would not take it, like, they drove me crazy. But at the same time, the days that they did take it,
you could tell.
In my opinion, half of them were severely over-medicated.
Yeah, not themselves. I mean, zombie-like.
They would be like, it's just like a zombie staring at the screen.
And I'd honestly say that like that's not an any better situation for learning. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, just because I'm staring and like not thinking about anything does not mean I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
Right? And there have been times where I think like over-medicating, there are people in my family like don't take it because their first experience was an over-medicate. Mm-hmm. They went too far. Like, I'm talking about my brother, Matt. Almost all of my brothers, believe it or not, have been diagnosed with ADHD and are medicated. I don't know any statistics on hereditariness or anything like that. But I'm sure there's a correlation, right?
That's like
my dad takes medicine or took medicine or is on and off. But it does wicked things to you. Like, for mm-hmm. me, like body image and like weight, yeah, when I can get on taking my medicine on a regular basis, that's when I'll stick to a diet, right? I'll lose all.
Because you're not hungry.
Right. Well, yeah. But it creates that. So, like, when you don't take it, it's like, let me eat everything. And that's just one of the things that, you know. But also, like, let me be fair. I might have used ADHD as a crutch a little bit. Like, I might have prohibited myself from actually doing things because mm-hmm. it was like, ah, you know, I'm just doing this because of. And I just don't, I don't want kids today to get this, like, when you talk about my daughter, like, if diagnosed, like, I don't want her to fall into the stigma of it's a bad thing.
Right.
Right? Like, I want it to be a positive mm-hmm. thing. Like, be blessed that you have this. Like, this makes you different. Like, yeah. be proud to be different. And it's not easy, right, when you have all the negative stigma mm-hmm. out there. But as far as, like, that goes with her, it's still tough. Like, I don't know what I would do. Like, I do see things in her, like, but, like, from, and, like, as an adult, I'm like, oh, do you, you know, is that something, like, I do? Or is that yeah. she's just a baby growing up? Like, she's yeah. only 2.5. Like, let me not hyper-analyze.
Let's not make assumptions yet.
Yeah. But, I mean, she's a lot like me. She's also a lot like her mom. But I do get scared because I don't always think that medicine is the right answer. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if there is, like, a right answer, right? Like, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to get rid of all of, like, this creative thought? Or are we just trying to make it so that, and I think, you know, a lot of ADHD is confined, it's because of schools, mm-hmm. right? Like, because I struggle with paying attention in school.
Well, because I can't sit there and sit straight and stare at something.
To these,
yeah.
right, and confined, but what if school was different? Mm-hmm. Right, like, what if school was more interactive? Mm-hmm. What if I didn't have to sit down for 80, 90 minutes.
So to
at
make
a time.
You feel better, and like this is a lot of what we learned when I was in my master's program. They are all for teaching us as educators. Well, I say that like I'm still an educator, but they're all for teaching teachers how to differentiate that and how to get kids up and moving and not, because now all these studies are coming back. And they're showing, like, these kids cannot sit there for 90 minutes straight. Like, they can't even sit there for 30 minutes straight.
No.
Like, you have to chunk it and break
Absolutely.
It up.
Absolutely.
So if that makes you feel any better, it's going down that route.
Yeah. No, and I think, thank God, right? Because, like, school is not made for everyone. And, like, I look back at people now, people who are great at school, right, might be struggling now. But mm-hmm. people who weren't great at school might be thriving now. Like, how
I thrived
do,
when I got to college.
Right. And I didn't. Like, I got A's, B's, and you know, a few C's, mm-hmm. but like, you know, and I got through, played college ball and was able to keep the grades, but it's not like I thrived. Like,
right.
you know, I got,
you just got by.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, I really don't even know where I'm going with it, but I just don't think that because it doesn't work in a certain set of circumstances, like school mm-hmm. is not made for everybody. I really
right.
believe that.
I believe that too.
And if we could tailor education, like more like you're saying, I think it would create better results and less negative stigma because, like you said, a lot of kids are just fine. They, you know, it's not the greatest, but they can get through school. Like, I mean, you probably were just fine sitting through
right.
class and this
yeah.
fine if I was not distracting you.
I mean,
you
I would definitely just daydream about something different that wasn't going on, but I never felt the need to, like, you know, talk and, like, get up
and
this
and
yeah, that.
Yeah. And, like, but if I was in a situation where everything was more engaged mm-hmm. And everything was more hands-on mm-hmm. and it was more activity and less stillness, I might have been better at school.
Right.
Things might have been different. I might not have had the outlook on school that I have.
Right.
I think that we're coming a long way with, you know, I applaud you for this podcast, like realizing that, you know, mental illness or disability is not negative. Like, it is who we are. It is
yeah.
what we are. We can't change it. It you know, it mm-hmm. is the way our brains fire. It is the way our insides work. Like, it just is what it is. So I think that being able to not see it as a negative and, you know, be able to see that, you know, we all are different and it's okay.
Yeah.
Is, you know, really
Absolutely.
Great thing.
So to kind of switch gears, if you had any advice for, I've had several parents reach out to me and they're like, oh my God, I can't wait for this. Like, my kid was just diagnosed, or I've been having, like, I have a kid who's had ADHD yeah. for a few years. Like, what would you say to those parents who have children who have just been diagnosed or who are going through school? Like, what would be, like, your advice to those parents?
Right. So, like, I can tell you how I would have wanted it as a kid, and then I can tell you with what I struggle with doing, what I think I should do as a parent with ADHD. Mm-hmm. Just one is patience. Like,
oh yeah,
we're not trying to annoy you. We're not trying to procrastinate. We're not trying to half-ass things as I was told that I did my entire life. Like, it's not my intentions to get the job half done and then go to the next thing and get it half done and then go to the next thing and get it half. That's not what I'm trying to do. It's, or what we are trying to do. It's just the way it works. Like, it's, you know, so be patient. What worked for me might not work for every other kid, though. So I really think just, like, communication, like, talk to your kids and really make it more about what they're going through than what you're going through.
Right.
Because, you know, depending on where they got diagnosed, like, I would say the most judgmental years of our lives are obviously middle school and high school, right? Everybody's looking at us and, like, trying to pick apart why we're different, and, like, it's all...
And just, not only in school, but at home.
Yeah, right? So I think just being able to have that open line of communication, like, hey, how was school? You know, are you struggling? And, like, is this, like, what can I do for you? While still being encouraging, like, hey, I need you to take initiative. Like, I'm going to get you the opportunities I can help you with. I need you to take full advantage of those opportunities. I hear a lot about, you know, these new studies about, like, or these new things where people are going to, and it's almost like a tutor session around kids who have ADHD as opposed to, like, medication. And I think that's great, like, brain studies and stuff like that. I don't even know if that's the right name. It was a commercial on the radio. But, like, I was intrigued by that. Like, you know, I don't think that medication should be the first go route for a disorder like this. Like, I think that there are things that we can do to help manage it. But then I think that there are cases where, like, you know, medication is
needed.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But within, you know, confines, like, you know, over medicating a kid just so, you know, like, people with severe ADHD, over-medicating that child into a zombie-like state just so the kids around him can get through their class without the distraction. Like, that's not fair.
No.
Right? Like, making this one kid change because he's the she's the distraction. Right? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, take everybody with ADHD and put them in their own special ADHD class.
That poor teacher.
Right? Well, yeah, dear God. But I'm also saying, like, let's not say that they're the reason that other kids aren't learning.
Right.
Right. Like, and let's not make them feel like they have to be somebody they're not just so everybody else can get by.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Yeah. Totally agree with that. And then to the child, what would you say?
That's hard. Because I can't say that the way I view or that way that ADHD affects me is affecting them in the same way. Right. Right? Like, it's a huge spectrum.
I feel like that spectrum, now that you've dropped that word, is almost, it's almost as broad as, like, the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, you've got those different levels.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And, you know, ADHD, you know, being, like, you know, it's hard for me to focus. And then there's ADHD, like, as hard as I tried, I could not focus, right? Like, struggling to focus and, like, or struggling to gain focus and then is different than putting every ounce of energy you have into finding focus and still not getting there.
Right. So it's almost like you want to say, like, try, but don't try too hard.
Yeah, dude, just...
But then, like, how do you define that?
Right,
you
know? Exactly. So, I mean, like, I think for kids with ADHD, self-awareness is key. Know that your brain is a little different. Know that you work a little different, but don't let anybody tell you that because you're different. You're wrong, or you're less than them, because you're not. And I guess that's, you know, I'm just trying to get everybody away from, you know, the negative stigma around all of it. But there's nothing wrong with thinking the way that you think. There's nothing wrong with the way that you function. So to the kids, just give it your best. Be true to yourself, and just don't try to be somebody you're not. Learn how to make your uniqueness work for you.
Yeah, and especially with you, like, you were this, like, hotshot baseball person in high school and college, and now you, like, you're welcome, and now you own a very successful business. I mean, I see people all the time on Facebook, like, oh, just got my hair cut at Bathing Blades. Right. Like, y'all are everywhere.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I saw a guy we went to brunch at Hondo's yesterday for my grandma's birthday, and there was a guy with a Fades and Blades shirt. No idea his name.
That's awesome.
But, like, that's in the West End.
Right, and that's first off, that is probably
whoever that was.
Thank you, sir. I greatly appreciate that. We greatly appreciate that. But to touch on the shop thing, right? I am able to use that the way that I function to really help with social media, mm-hmm. to really help with the marketing aspect of the things. I cannot cut hair. Right. I cannot. It is solely on the hard work of, right. Like you could bring a million people into one space, and if the service sucks,
right,
it's not going to work.
Right.
Right. Like if I can help, I get so much pleasure in filling the shop, knowing that it helps these girls and these women and these mothers make money.
But they're hard work. That's what I'm saying.
Like, they're so good at what they do. Like, I feel like the more people I can get there, the more regulars they're going to have, right? Mm-hmm. And great, that helps us grow as a company, but that helps them grow as individuals. And that helps them see what a lot of people do see as a job now becomes a career,
right?
Because, like, one, you can go to work knowing that you work for somebody who really, Chelsea and I both are going to do the best we can to accommodate all of our employees.
I Facebook messaged you the other week and I was like, I really need a blowout. Like, can they do it? And you were like, yeah, just call. Like, they're all cosmetologists. Like, yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, so like they do. And they're all just so talented at their craft. But the best part about it is like they genuinely care about the mm-hmm. people in there as much as, you know, I care about
yeah.
them. You know, like it's not a front. Like, we do really believe that Hanover is probably the greatest community on earth. Like, you know, it's incredible the fact that, you know, we grew up in the same area. We went off and did vastly different things. And now we're coming back together.
Back, yeah.
Like, you know, like you just get sucked back to this place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love this community. Chelsea loves this community. And being able to, you know, through Facebook, like through, you know, because of how I work, being able to connect with all of these people mm-hmm. has led us to be able to do a lot of really cool things with the shop. More than just, you know, people think about a barbershop, they think, you know, okay, I'm going to get my hair cut and, you know, I'm going to judge my experience based on, you know, what I look like when I leave. I'm trying to get people to think of us as more than just a barbershop, as literally like a community figure, like somebody who's really going to go out there and do something to better our community.
Right.
And again, it all falls along the same thing with, you know, the mental illness stigma. Like, we're just trying to change the way people think of everything. I want to make a negative to positive shift in like all thought processes. I don't know. I guess I was really just trying to plug the girls and tell them, you know, how great they are. And
well, that's good though.
And yeah, because like I don't take any credit. I don't want to take any
credit.
There's
no better feeling in the world than feeling support from your boss
or
feeling support from like a higher up.
Yeah.
You know?
And like I don't ever want anyone to call me a boss. And Chelsea's the same way. Like
yeah.
Chelsea will never refer to herself as a boss. Because like Chelsea works alongside with them every day. Mm-hmm. And like, although I'm rarely in the shop, like if any of them ever needed me, they know I'll be there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know how any of this ties to my ADHD, but I just think that...
Well, you did. You take your ADHD and you take the way that it makes you function
yeah.
as a human being and you incorporate that to better
yeah,
your work.
Yeah, and it's just like, I want to... If anybody who's had a situation like me has done it, like I can do it, right? So like, if there are kids listening, if there are parents of kids listening, like... just because your kid is or you have been labeled with this label doesn't mean like success is out the window.
Right.
Like doesn't mean you can't
mean
do something special.
Yeah.
Right? Like there are people who deal with, you know, arguably what I would consider much worse. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to speak for everyone.
Yeah.
But there are people out there who are dealing with like other really tough issues that are doing great things every day. I'm just trying to get, you know, like I said, look past that label into like the potential
mm-hmm.
of like what you can use it for.
Right. So we started this last week.
Okay.
So what we're doing from last week on out is I want you to give your listeners a challenge. And whether that is to, you know, talk to somebody randomly about like how ADHD is not a bad thing or, you know, tell somebody about this episode and if, you know, does it change your mind on your opinion of it? So what would be your challenge to all of your listeners today?
I would want to make it more broader than just ADHD, right? Like if we're this, because your whole podcast is about mental health. Right? So if you're feeling like you need to talk to somebody, you know, or if maybe you're struggling with depression, maybe you're struggling with anxiety, maybe you're struggling with negative, just negative thought in general. If you feel the urge to talk to somebody, don't be held back. Like if you've thought like maybe, and it doesn't have, when I say somebody, it could be, you know, a friend, a parent, like
a teacher, a counselor,
anybody, like, don't be scared to take the first step to talking about it, because a lot of times when I feel like when I talk about things, I can, you know, get to the root of what's going on. So don't be afraid to be yourself. So if there's an opportunity to go out and, you know, talk to someone about, you know, mental health or anything like that, go for it. Don't be scared. You know, we all are struggling with something.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Well, I thank you so much for coming here today. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else that you want to say at all? Come get your haircut.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Come get your haircut. Fades Blades Barbershop.
What's it? Tell them the address.
7225 Bell Creek Road, Suite 224. That's in the Target Shopping Center. Plug right next to the Lazy Daisy. They're awesome as well.
Love that store.
Yeah, no. Oh my God. You could spend a paycheck there.
I could spend another episode talking about how much I love that store.
Sorry if this podcast was a little jumbly, but that's just how
it works. But I feel like it goes with it.
That's how it works.
Yeah, it goes with the theme.
Absolutely.
So again, Jacob, thank you so much for being on. Next week, our episode is going to be about borderline personality disorder. I have a really awesome girl coming on. Her name is Katie. And I feel like she fully embodies, you know, what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise awareness and reduce the stigma. So really excited to have her on. And that is going to be a three-part series, if you will. I'll have two other girls come on the two episodes after that. So stay tuned. As always, you are loved, you are enough, and you are exactly where you are meant to be.